Good morning to you. This is John Williams. It's 9:12. I'm here until noon today. By the way, we close our show on Fridays around 11:40. I hope you can join us then. If you have to go away, come back, because we'll be doing our Bright Side. People will call in. They'll tell us what their good news in the world is, why they're smiling, and we will smile together and head into the weekend feeling good. It really does work. We do a daily web poll question at WGNradio.com, and we always post it on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Yesterday, we said Rush Limbaugh is the recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. 15% of you said that's a good idea. He deserves it. 85% of you said he did not. We got five times more votes on that news click than we have on almost any news click we post. So that was a popular topic for you. I thought this would be a slam dunk for me today, but I'm drawing blanks from the gang here at WGN Radio this morning.
I'm sorry.
Well, it's not your fault. It is what it is. You know, yesterday we were talking about movies, and the Oscars are this weekend, Sunday night at 7 o'clock on ABC. And with Kirk Douglas's passing, we were talking about Spartacus. Anyway, somebody texted in yesterday, and they said that they made their kids watch 12 Angry Men before they registered to vote. And I have a thought in the past. I get on my high horse. Imagine that. And I tell my younger producers or my kids, you need to watch this movie. Just to be culturally aware, I want you to know about, 2001, A Space Odyssey. I drag The Graduate around verbally in front of these people, and I say plastics, and they don't understand. And I think that's just something you need to know. You just need to know. So I don't know if it's before they vote, or you want them to just see a good movie, or you want them to resonate with something that resonates with you. But I said, what's the movie that you want your kids, you've told your kids to watch? Now, Steve Grzanich doesn't have any kid, but I believe he has a cat or a dog, Steve?
He has a dog.
I have a dog.
You have a dog.
Yeah, no, and I've been thinking about if I did have kids, what movie it would be. And I have to tell you, you've stumped me this morning on this. I don't know. There's a couple of movies. Maybe, you know, like Apollo 13, because I love space.
That works.
Know, that's a good one.
You want your dog to know you? You should make them watch Apollo 13.
Kind of shows the ingenuity of humans and how you can overcome different kinds of obstacles and big ones like that one. Maybe Dances with Wolves. I don't know.
Both great choices by me. 312-981-7200. Will you play along? Tell me what the movie is that you have told your kids you need to watch this. Jeff Carlin, Rokan's producer, is here early this morning. He popped his head in my office. He said, Casablanca, I made my cat watch it.
Mr. McGuire.
Ben.
Mr. McGuire.
Come with me for a minute. I want to talk to you. I just want to say one word to you. Just one word.
What is it? What's the word?
Yes, sir.
What's the word?
Are you listening?
Yes, I am.
I am.
Plastics.
Plastics. Plastics.
Now, today it might be, I don't know, 20 years ago it would have been microchips.
Yes.
And 10 years ago it would have been some internet technology. I don't know, apps. Son, the word, the future is apps. Today the future is IPA microbrews. You grow yourself a fancy mustache, get a flannel shirt, and put up a brewery in a city. It's the future, son. I don't know what it is. But that was it at that moment. That movie resonated with me in part because I thought, God, I'm going to be Ben someday. I was younger than that. Benjamin Bratt character that he was playing, Dustin Hoffman in the movie The Graduate. But I thought, yeah, what is he going to do? It seems like so much pressure. I was more into that scene, Hey Elif, than the other famous scene from the movie Graduate. And this is the one maybe the movie is best known for.
For God's sake, Mrs. Robinson. Here we are. You got me into your house. You give me a drink. You put on music. Now you start opening up your personal life to me and tell me your husband won't be home for hours.
So?
Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
That last line you forgot, aren't you? That's what really makes that line work. Terry, you're on WGN Radio. It's a movie you want your kids to watch. What is it, Terry?
I liked In the Heat of the Night, the original one with Rod Steiger and Sidney Poitier. I thought that was a fantastic movie that kind of gave a forecast of how people's lives can change.
You know, I was looking at the National Film Registry. This is the Library of Congress, and they have a list of the movies that showcase America's diversity and film heritage. These are the important movies. This is what I'm kind of talking about. And they have some Sidney Poitier films on there. And I thought about To Sir With Love or Lilies of the Field. Those would be good movies for all of us to go back and watch, if nothing else, to remind ourselves of the sort of racial imbalance and how Sidney Poitier was a transcendent character for a lot of people. You could do a lot worse than a Sidney Poitier film, Terry.
Look Who's Coming to Dinner.
That's the one that hits me.
He was great.
Hey, thanks for the call, Terry. You have a good day.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate your thought on that. Bill, you're on WGN. Jump in there. Bill, what do you want to say?
So I have four kids, all now in college, but when they were in high school, before they were going off to college, I sat down and we watched We Are Marshall as a group, mainly because it's a college-based movie, but because it shows a community that suffered tremendous loss in the individual battles and the group battles to overcome something that seemed impossible. So I thought it was a great message for them to, you know, to see and share and hopefully retain a little bit of it as they venture out into the world.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Bill, you have a good... It sounds like you raised the kids right. None of them are in jail right now?
Not today.
Well, then you win. Then it's a good day, Bill.
Yeah, so far so good.
Have a good day.
You too.
Kathy, you're on WGN Radio. Go ahead, Kathy.
I think the movie Hidden Figures.
Yeah.
You know, women can do things.
What a great call. Thanks, Kathy. Paul, you're on WGN. What do you say, Paul?
Hi, John. I made all four of my kids watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
For the transcendent messaging, the important...
there is an important message in there.
Okay.
I mean, there's two different worlds coming together, and, you know, besides being hilarious, there's probably not one time that my wife watches that she doesn't have tears.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. I'm glad you called. Thanks for joining us, Paul.
Okay, thank you.
Speaking of funny movies that you wanted the kids to watch, Dave, are you amending yours now?
Well, no, I was not going to suggest that my kids watch Blazing Saddles.
But you did tell me off the air a story about watching Blazing Saddles. Is that one of those movies that you remember fondly? You go back and watch it and go, oh, no.
Oh, I think there are some very funny, I think it's a very funny movie. I think there are some very funny scenes in it, but there are also some scenes that are so offensive. By today's standards, I don't think that movie would have been anywhere near as popular as it was when it came out.
Doesn't travel well, does it?
No, really. I'll tell you, there's another movie that I was thinking about that I remember kind of with it fondly because I watched it in a Cinerama theater. You might even be too young to remember this.
I remember when Cinerama came out.
And it was like surround vision, right? And it's a mad, 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 mad world,
yeah.
which was everybody who was anybody in Hollywood who was in this movie. It was one of the, you know, and it was just crazy. It was slapstick. It was, but it was a really funny movie at the time. But I bet if you went back and watched it, I haven't seen it in years, there are scenes in that movie that you would kind of wince at.
One movie that I watched thinking it might not travel well, and I thought it did, was Broadcast News. I'm mad as hell. I'm not going to take it anymore.
See, I was just getting ready to chime in on this, John, and I was going to say I would make my kids watch that movie, and I'd be like, this is what your old man does. There's a scene in there where Al Brooks has been suspended for whatever it is he's doing, and he's sitting on the couch giving information about a story to the hot new anchor, William Hurt, through Holly Hunter. He's like, I say it here, and it comes out there.
Yeah.
You know? Love that. Love that movie.
I thought you were going to tell me about the flop sweat scene.
The flop sweat scene. And then when everybody comes in, when the new people come in and lay off everybody in the Washington Bureau, and the grizzled old news guy who runs the Bureau said, the president of the network says to him, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And the guy says...
I quoted the wrong line, too, didn't I?
You could die real soon.
Yeah.
I knew that. And now the actor who played that news guy was a legitimate NBC News correspondent who I knew.
No kidding.
Who and I worked in the same building with the NBC Bureau in Washington at one time, a guy named Peter Hackis.
How about that?
And he was the guy who played the guy who said, you can die now.
You could die real soon.
And obviously, I quoted what network, right? Or there's broadcast news.
That was broadcast news.
Yeah,
network was the one I meant to sell.
I would watch them both. Network to me was also a movie that sort of predicted where we are and still is very relevant that way. It's a 9:26. Lots of phone calls and texts about this. Thank you, producer Elif. Schindler's List, Cool Hand Luke. I think one of the ways you know that a movie works is if the lines and scenes just come flooding to mind, and certainly Cool Hand Luke is an example of that. To Kill a Mockingbird. Thank you for that. Blazing Saddles. Blazing Saddles. Green Book, Remember the Titans, some of your suggestions here. Mary wanted to say what. You're on WGN. Hi, Mary. Good morning.
Good morning, John. It's Mary. I saw you with Clay Jenkinson last year.
When we were doing Jefferson, or was it Roosevelt?
I think I had Pat Brodowski with me, so I think it was... It could have been either one.
Yeah, we do both. I forget sometimes.
We do both.
We do these stage shows where I interview one of those presidents on stage. What's the movie for you, Mary?
Well, let's start with Schindler's List. I made a class that I was teaching watch that because they were incredulous that that kind of thing could actually happen.
Isn't that amazing?
And it was so true and so scary and so upsetting.
Yeah, I can imagine. Mary, great list. I'm out of time. It's 9:27. I want you to continue to call and text your suggestions. 312-981-7200. Oscars are this weekend. Kirk Douglas's passing yesterday inspired one of our listeners to tell us the movie they make their kids watch. I thought, I'm going to ask you too. Don't fall in love. From yesterday's show, this text message has poured in. John, I've been singing Copacabana since you interviewed Barry Manilow. Thanks a lot. What a fun song, though. I can't get it out of my head. We should all sing that song every day. It just feels so good. Play it. I think this is the way you get an earworm out of your head, though. If someone starts a song and they don't finish it, you continue to play it, but we'll let it fade out here. So now Barry Manilow's Copacabana should be cleansed from your brain. Hopefully that helped. Although I completely agree. I love the song. And we had such a nice conversation with Barry Manilow. I don't know if you heard it, but we're going to rebroadcast it on my Saturday show. I'm on Saturdays from 1 to 3. You should keep WGN Radio on during the weekend. We've got Big Ten Basketball featuring Dave Ennett. We've got Dean Richards on Sunday morning. Lou Manfredini does a nice job on Saturday morning, and we'll replay part of my Barry Manilow interview. In fact, the whole thing, it was such a fun conversation Saturday between 1 and 3. What's the big game you're looking forward to this weekend, Dave? You are on this weekend, are you not?
Yes, Sunday evening, but not actually on this radio station because the Chicago Blackhawks will be playing, but heading to Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Yeah. And Rutgers has had a really good year. They've dropped a couple of games lately, but they have not lost a game at home. So,
oh, no kidding.
Tough game for the Cats.
Good game for you to do.
Yeah.
By the way, we said to you, tell us the movie that you want your kids to watch. John, I made my kids watch. The grandkids were too young. 12 Angry Men, Casablanca, Pawnbroker. There are others. I texted them to remind me which ones I made them watch. American History X, John, everybody should watch that. A couple of you have actually mentioned that. John, my dad made me watch African Queen for some reason. It's a great movie. It really is. And Cool Hand Luke on VHS. Keep texting.
I must be a bad mom because I texted my kids and asked them. they were like, I don't know. I think The Sound of Music. That was about all they could come up with.
I remember the last movie I think I assigned my kids to was the movie Diner, which Brenda and I really liked. Now, maybe it was my kids, it was somebody else, but I think it was my kids. And they weren't as enthusiastic about it as I was. I'm like, that's a young Ellen Barkin, a young Mickey Rourke, with the Kevin Bacon. There's just some of these great stars in there, right? And it's a fun, clever movie, and I can quote scenes from it, but... For some people, these work. For some people, they don't.
Yeah, sometimes they don't like it when you recommend a movie, old movie especially.
Exactly. Well, not the... hey, that one's in color. It's in color, for crying out loud. Diner. It's 9:43. Did you all see the scene that is on all of the television news now? The Sun-Times posted the video. I don't know what's going on at Lincoln Park High School. They've got five separate investigations stemming from what I score as three different things. And one of them is this temporary principal who's now said that the school is not a good fit for her, where she grabs a kid by the chin. She's having some sort of conversation. It looks a little disciplinary with the kid in the hall. And there's no audio to go with this video that the Sun-Times got and has been made public now. But she grabs that kid by the chin just for a second. The kid's pulling away. She wants to see his, it looks like, student ID. He says no. She grabs his chin like, hey, mister, you stand right here. And that's the end of the episode. Now, some of you have seen that and said, oh, my God, that lady needs to go now. And some of us looked at that and thought, I don't see one problem here. We'll continue this conversation, and I want to know what your reaction to that was in just a minute. Now, the list just keeps on coming. 815 said, John, I made my kids watch How the West Was Won and Cat Ballou because I had loved it so. I have a warm spot in my movie for Cat Ballou.
Me too.
I don't know that movie.
Oh, Stubby, my God. Stubby Kaye and Nat King Cole are the balladeers.
They sing the title song in the middle of the movie, and it is... I have it in the middle of the movie.
Throughout the movie. Yeah.
And it's wonderful. Cat Ballou.
Takes place in Wolf City,
Wyoming. Is that Jane Fonda that
Wolf
plays
City,
the...
Wolf City, Wyoming, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. 847, when my son was 12, listen to this, I had him watch the D-Day sequence from Saving Private Ryan. When my son was 12, I had him watch the D-Day sequence. I guess that'd be the first half hour of Saving Private Ryan. His reaction was, is that Woody from Toy Story? And he asked you, what movie do you want your kids to watch? Have you made them watch? Okay, so listen to this. This is an excerpt from our Mincing Rascals podcast. It dropped last night around 5 o'clock. It's our weekly podcast roundtable with Eric Zorn from the Tribune and Steve Bertrand and me. Justin Kaufman from WGN Radio joins us often. Austin Berg, the Illinois Policy Institute. Lisa Donovan from the Tribune. And Heather Sharon, who writes and reports for the Daily Line, which is a great site. And she's one of the bright lights of Chicago journalism. She and I got into a disagreement. We were talking about that scene that the Sun-Times first exposed. And it's this temporary principal at Lincoln Park High School. She confronts a student in the hall, and the video shows her sort of grabbing the kid by the chin for just a second. My reaction to it was, I suppose we've all seen the video of that, it's harmless.
I don't think it's harmless.
The music that the Sun-Times put underneath it is sinister, and I thought, oh, give me a break. She grabbed the kid by the chin when he pulled away his student ID. Evidently, she was asking for it. There's no volume, but that she touched his chin.
If somebody touched my kid like that?
Really?
Absolutely.
Okay, and I have sons. I don't know. If somebody touched my kid like that, I would have said what? It would not have bothered me an iota.
Yeah, my husband and I have taught them to sort of be prepared to say, don't touch me. You know, you don't have the right to touch me without my consent. And that's touching without consent. And it's just not okay.
Even in a disciplinary matter like that?
I teach my girls to use their words. It's harder when you have an authority figure not use their words to convey what they want.
How about that, huh? So I'm asking you right now, 312-981-7200. Don't pick a side, but there's two different sides. There's two different opinions about that.
Part of the problem is conveying what happened with words, because we're saying she grabbed him by the chin and she didn't really grab him, but she did reach out and make forceful contact.
I object to the word forceful, but go ahead.
Okay, she reached out and made contact.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Here's the headline in the Sun-Times. New leader at Lincoln Park High School out after video allegedly shows her grabbing student's face. And I thought, oh, this is going to be ugly. I'll bet the physical contact did not last more than 1.5 seconds.
Oh, it was less. I don't think it was a half a second. I think she reached out to, you know, sort of grab a mister by the chin.
Yes.
And stopped right away.
Yes.
But you can't do that.
Okay, you can't do that. And they didn't say she got fired for that reason. She stepped down. but they're linking these incidents. Do you think that's a fireable or acquittable offense?
I don't know what the rules are, but not if it's the first time it's happened. But what's going on right now at Lincoln Park High School is so charged that I don't know what would be fireable.
This woman was 32 years in the district, eligible for a $96,000 a year pension. But they call some of these people back off the sidelines to help out when there's a temporary vacancy. She came in and after a day or two said, yeah, I'm done. I'm out. I don't envy any of you all who have to make those spontaneous decisions, and then video lets us all parse them out over and over and over again. But I guess kids have a radioactive shield now, and you just can't go in there. You cannot touch. Joe, you're on WGN. What'd you want to say, Joe? You're on the air.
John, I totally disagree with her. You know, I think I'm a firm believer, and the reason we have all these school shootings and everything else, and these kids that are flipping out, is because there's no discipline. You can't look at kids nowadays without their parents having a fit because, like she said, oh, my kids can't be touched. You know, you don't have to beat a kid, but there is such a thing as discipline. And I can tell you, John, I'm 57 years old, and growing up, I grew up in a very strict Catholic, Italian Catholic family.
Yeah,
and we were disciplined to a point to where we knew better than to do what we were going to do because we didn't want to be disciplined. And nowadays, you can't look at these kids the wrong way. I look at my grandkids, and they come home from school, and I hear all these stories. That's the reason we're having all of this crap going on at school, with kids getting shot up and kids walking in and flipping out.
No, I get you. I get your point.
You know,
I get
the
your
bullying and everything.
I get your point, Joe.
On.
Joe, I got you. Settle down. I want you to drive safely on our nation's highways.
Thanks. Sorry, John.
That's okay. I appreciate the call. 815, the problem I see is the kids these days show no respect for their elders. But the very next text says she did not need to touch that kid. Capital letters need. And that's the issue. She could have done whatever she was doing without touching that kid. She touched him for a second. She maybe with her thumb and the next finger just sort of grabbed his chin. The way you might affectionately your grandkids, or the way you might angrily your kids when you say, hey, I'm talking to you, and you just grab their chin. That's what she did. He pulled away.
But the point should be made, too. She's the principal, and she apparently was asking him for his ID.
Yeah.
And he
backed away.
Refused to do it.
Affirmative.
So
I think that lends a little weight to my interpretation of
the
events.
No can touch in anger or in...
Sam, you're on WGN Radio. You're on the air. Hi, Sam.
Hey, I just have a quick story. I was in, grew up in Glenview, and I was a hyperactive kid. I was tied to my chair in the back of a classroom. This was 40 years ago. But to this day, it almost makes me teary just thinking about how the other kids looked at me having that done to me, and there was nothing you could do, or at least nothing my parents did back then. It was almost, you know, they had a freer hand on how they treated kids. But
yeah,
to this day, I almost bring a tear up just thinking about it.
And it, I guess, colors your, I mean, and that's your view of this, so I suspect you think, you know, do not touch, right?
Yeah, but there's got to be a middle ground in that. I mean, if it's a harmless, you know, look at me, here I am, pay attention to me,
yeah,
without grabbing them and hurting them, I think that would be okay. But to, you know, because so many kids now that are hyperactive, they just are drugged.
So the teacher tied you up in the back of the class, not because you were, not to punish you, but just to contain you.
Just to contain me.
Wow.
And they had those desks where it was a solid one-piece metal desk.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was literally tied to the desk in the back of the classroom, and it was in Glenview, and I know today that wouldn't have done, but, and I mean, to talk about it in therapy years ago, it was like, I don't know, I just kind of stuff it, and, you know, that's what happened, that's what it was.
Yeah. What a story. Sam, you know, thanks for the phone call. I'm glad you're listening. I'm glad you called in.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, because that's a whole nother conversation. Stuff the teachers did to us, and that's an age thing. It's also a Catholic or parochial, you know, or public thing. But those of us who went to Catholic schools, although I got to tell you, when I went to Manuka Junior High School, that's a public school, they used to hit us really hard.
Yeah, I was under much more physical threat in my public school than I was in my private school.
So I guess that's a problem I'm having, too, interpreting the sin of this principle. After WGN Radio News, we remember Bob Collins. We'll finish this conversation about what happened at Lincoln Park High School, and we'll share more of the stories of movies you're recommending your kids watch. Hi, John. We watched The Graduate, but my mom didn't know. It was very risky for a couple of 10-year-olds. Yeah. We got in trouble. An hour and a half from now, I'd say 11:40 or so, we'll do our Bright Side. You call in, tell us some good news in your world. Have you heard that segment? Sounds kind of cheesy, doesn't it? It kind of is, but it really works. You'll start your weekend with a smile. Give us some good news in your world, large or small, around 11:40. By the way, also in the news today, the reports are that the doctor who originally sounded the alarm on coronavirus in China has died of the coronavirus. And when he first reported it to local authorities, this is the way it is in China, I guess, sometimes, they wanted to suppress bad news or any level of incompetence that may have surfaced. So they said, no, don't tell anybody, keep it down. We have no information. It doesn't spread human to human. We don't know. And he goes, yes, I think it does. We should warn people. And at that very critical juncture where they could have maybe snuffed it out a little bit or contained the spread, in fact, it did spread. And now we know how bad it is and is getting. What's the number? 636 people have died now. Almost 32,000 infections worldwide. And the doctor who first tried to sound the alarm has, in fact, himself now succumbed.
And now, if you heard, but the two patients here in the Chicago area went home.
Oh, good to hear that. 12 in the United States was the count that I saw yesterday. And that was people infected, not people who had died. So a couple of things to do in this half hour, though. I want to finish our conversation about what happened at Lincoln Park High School. And I want to recollect with you a little bit something Bob Collins did on his last day here at WGN Radio. Bob passed away. The anniversary of his death is tomorrow. And it was a tragic story for a lot of us. And I think when we think about that, we think about Bob's passing. And I'm actually thinking a little bit about his career. And Dean Richards found some audio from his last show that really is worth replaying. He did on his Sunday show last week, I guess figuring that he wouldn't have a chance to play it again before the anniversary of Bob's death. But we're a little closer to that, and it's a wonderful little bit. So we'll play that for you in this half hour. But back to Lincoln Park High School. The teacher, the principal, grabs a student by the face, captured on video. What about that? Murray wanted to say something. Hey, Murray, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. I just want to say I grew up in the north side of Chicago, and back then for the eighth grade play, they decided to do West Side Story. So you have a bunch of eighth grade boys reenacting the rumble scene, which is, you know, the fight scene. And as eighth grade boys will do, they were a little rambunctious and a little too much roughhousing, got carried away running around the stage. And the teacher, who I remember his name, but I won't say it, hit a student in the back with a 2x4 that was laying there on the stage area. So times have changed a little bit.
Did the teacher do that as part of the acting or because he was angry at the student?
He was angry at the student because the student was messing around too much and carrying on the fight scene a little too much, like real, and tackling another student. And he went up behind him and hit him in the back with a 2x4, which I'll remember the rest of my life.
I think all of us will. I mean, any of us who've seen one of those scenes or been the victim of one of those scenes, and victim is the right word, that sort of thing, that you're a victim, you never forget it. You'll die remembering, as your life plays before you, you'll remember being whacked by the teacher in front of the class.
Right, so I thought I would chime in just throw my 2 cents in, but it's from one extreme to the other, so
yeah.
It went from that to you can't do anything to discipline kids, and, the other caller might have had a point that there should be there's no respect for the authority anymore.
Thanks for the call, Murray. I'm glad you joined us.
Okay, thanks.
I was in 8th grade, Manuka Junior High School, might have been 7th grade. Wadded up a piece of paper, shot it into the garbage can. I missed. The science teacher didn't like that. He called me to the front of the class. I was a pretty good kid. I wasn't a straight-A student, but I wasn't a bad student, and I was not a discipline problem. But he decided this was my turn, so he called me up to the front of the classroom, bent me over, I grabbed my knees, and he got out a really, it was like a 2x4, a really long paddle, and swung it like a baseball bat on my ass and hit it hard. And I remember not the humiliation so much, first as the shock of pain. I was amazed at how painful it was. And then tears came to my eyes, and that was really humiliating. And then I went back to my seat. That guy would be fired today. That guy would be
charged
criminally today. I don't know if he should have then, because that wasn't the world we lived in. He would not have done that, maybe, knowing that. But can you imagine? And I have countless stories like that from my public school, high school and junior high school.
One of my favorite teachers, the most influential teacher among them that I had in middle school or junior high, had a paddle on his desk.
Yeah.
And it was carved and it had holes in it. You know, and he would just bring it up, and every once in a while he would slam it on the desk.
Yeah.
You know?
And it was the source of intimidation. We knew that Mr. L had a paddle. Some of the others did, too. And it was kind of a jokey thing that the teachers had with the students and with each other. And it was this symbol of intimidation that was always in the front of the classroom.
Yeah, it was a joke with a threat. There was a real threat behind it.
Exactly, exactly. This is Sue. You're on WGN. Hi, Sue. You're on the air.
Yeah.
Listen
hi.
To me. Hi, Sue. You're on the air. We're having a great time. What can I do for you, Sue?
I just wanted to let you know that it really should go both ways. My husband was a police officer at Harper College, and 10 years ago, he ended up in, a dispute. They just wanted the student's ID, and he wasn't going to have that. So he ended up punching my husband in the chest. He fell down, hit the back of his head, and now he has a traumatic brain injury.
Mm. Yeah, that's crazy. That shouldn't happen either.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's not the way you expect your retirement to go. And to deal with all of that, it's absolutely crazy. So when people talk about teachers not being able to touch students, students in the same way shouldn't be able to touch, you know, the administration.
Well, that's the problem, isn't it? I mean, so that teacher shouldn't have hit me with a stick or a 2x4, but I think this new attitude empowers students to really light out at the adults because they know the adults can't touch them, right?
It's exactly it. That's right. And being a police officer, you know, they sometimes would have to, you know, grab a student, but it was for a different reason. You know, Matt, you look at it now, 10 years later, and the things that we're dealing with, and of course, you know, workman's comp covers those things, but...
No, I get your point, Sue, and I appreciate your call. I'm going to let you go. I think your dog needs your attention right now.
Yeah, you can hear my dog. I have three of them going to the groomer, yes.
You have a good day.
You too, thank you.
Sanaa, this is John. You're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, John. How are you?
Good. Talk to me. What do you want to say?
So I always say my generation is the last generation of real kids, true kids, you know. When we were in school, we not only got in trouble and got spanked by the teacher, but then we went home and got spanked by the neighbor for having to get spanked by the teacher. And then when mom got home, she spanked us for having to get spanked by the neighbor and spanked by the teacher. And it just gave us a sense of structure and respect, and it made us aware of the things that we did. We still did stupid things, but we knew that there were people watching us. We knew that there were consequences. We knew that there were things that we needed to do and ways that we needed to behave. Otherwise, we would get in big trouble, and these children don't have that today. The biggest thing that I pray for is that these children, this generation, is going to be the generation that's taking care of us more. And I cringe at the rigidity, at the openness, the all is mine attitude that this generation has. I really do believe that we should shed some type of discipline on these children, because speaking to them and not being able to touch them and not being able to, you know, even embrace them sometimes, I think is ruining those children. That's my point.
So now I got to ask before you go, how old are you?
I am 44, John. I just made 44.
Well, you know, that's actually, for a person as young as you are, that's kind of an old school attitude.
Yeah. So I say that, you know, again, we're the last generation of old school kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, old school and middle school.
So do you have a lot of direct contact with kids now, with high school and college?
You're
going
to get in trouble if you do that, Sana.
No, I'm just asking.
Well, here's the thing. I used to teach, and this was right when all of this stuff was really, really hot. You can't look at them a certain way. You can't, you know, use a certain tone of voice. And children were getting out of control.
Well,
I had children who were ganging up who wanted to, you know, do things to me as the teacher.
Why do you ask that question, Steve?
Yeah.
Well, she proved me wrong, but I was just, I wonder if a lot of people who hold that attitude don't have a lot of direct contact with young people today. Clearly she does.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What an interesting call.
It's rough.
So now I'm out of time, but I'm really glad you're listening.
Listen every day.
Have a good morning. It's 10:21. 20 years ago tomorrow, one of the great legendary voices of American broadcasting passed away in a tragic plane crash. Two other people did as well. We should always remember that. Your Bob Collins, passed away. And so Dean Richards was talking about this on his show last Sunday and found a piece of audio that evidently Bob did on his last broadcast. He read this on the radio, and then he got in his airplane that fateful, I guess it would have been then, late morning, early afternoon. And Dean played it, and I don't know if you heard it on Sunday, but it's worth a replay again. This is the late Bob Collins on his last broadcast.
Some things I have learned as I aged. Age 6. I've learned that I like my teacher because she cries when we sing Silent Night. Age 7, I've learned that you can't hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Age 9, I've learned that when I wave to people in the country, they stop what they're doing and wave back. Age 13, I've learned that just when I get my room the way I want it, Mom makes me clean it up. Age 14, I've learned that if you want to cheer yourself up, you should try cheering somebody else up. Age 15, I've learned that although it's hard to admit, I secretly am glad my parents are strict with me. Age 24, I've learned that silent company is often more healing than words or advice. Age 26, I've learned that brushing my child's hair is one of life's great pleasures. Age 29, I've learned that wherever I go, the world's worst drivers follow me there. Age 39, I've learned that if somebody says something unkind about me, I must live so that no one will believe it. Age 41, I've learned that there are people who love you dearly but just don't know how to say it. Age 44, I've learned that you can make somebody's day simply by sending them a little card. Age 46, I've learned that the greater a person's sense of guilt, the greater his need to cast blame on others. Age 47, I've learned that children and grandparents are natural allies. Age 49, I've learned that singing Amazing Grace can lift my spirit for hours. Age 50, I've learned that the motel mattresses are better on the side away from the phone. Age 51, I've learned that you can tell a lot about a man by the way he handles these three things: a rainy day, lost luggage, and tangled Christmas tree lights. Age 52, I've learned that keeping a vegetable garden is worth a whole medicine cabinet full of pills. Age 53, I've learned that regardless of your relationship with your parents, you miss them terribly after they die. Age 58, I've learned that making a living is not the same thing as making a life. Age 61, I've learned that if you want to do something positive for your children, try improving your marriage. Age 62, I've learned that life sometimes gives you a second chance. Age 64, I've learned that if you pursue happiness, it will elude you. But if you focus on your family, the needs of others, your work, and meeting new people, and doing the very best you can, happiness will in fact find you. Age 66, I've learned that whenever I decide something with kindness, I almost always make the right decision. Age 72, I've learned that everybody can use a prayer. Age 73, I've learned to believe in miracles. And to tell you the truth, I've seen a few. Age 82, I've learned that even if I have pains, I don't have to be one. Age 85, I've learned that every day you should reach out and touch someone. People love the human touch. Holding hands, a warm hug, or a friendly pat on the back, it's all wonderful. And age 92, I've learned that I still have a lot to learn.
Well done, Bob. That's the fourth time I've heard that. That may be the second time you've heard that today, but I don't think there's any problem with catching that wisdom and that great voice more than once in a day. Late Bob Collins.
He was dominant. He was one of a kind. I mean, Spike replacement certainly did very well, but Bob Collins was irreplaceable. I'll never forget that day when we came in. I came into the newsroom late that day, and everyone was standing around, and we had talked about the plane crash, and I just looked at Orion, who was there. I said, "Was it Bob?" And he said, "Yes."
Mm. Yeah. I just got home that day, and Brenda was greeting me when I walked in the kitchen. She told me they thought it was Bob, and I got in the car and drove back to work. That's where we all congregated and then grieved for a week. It was hard.
And Orion was asked to go with him on that flight.
Oh, I didn't know that, Mary.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And Orion didn't. Huh?
No, he had stuff to do.
Yeah. You know, and I think this is where our heads go when we think about this. We think about that day. But when I listen to that voice, I remember all of the years and all of the wisdom and all of, and his laugh, just the tenor of his voice. He was a classic, and he was a fun guy, and he was a talented guy, and he is missed. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. I got to tell you, we'll probably go back to this on Monday or Tuesday or some other day, but the tonnage of text messages about the kind of corporal punishment you all survived is enough to make a social studies book. I mean, it's just a different world. And it doesn't mean that the old world was right, but it also means that you can survive it. And it lingers in a lot of people's heads, but I'm just saying that the fact that a school principal touches a kid's chin, I don't think damages that kid for life the way all the rest of us used to get whacked. The difference is stunning to me, how in the course of 20, 30, 40, 100 years, whatever it's been now, since I was in grade school and high school, and you were in grade school and high school, the difference between then and now, the attitude about what school administrators and teachers can do to kids, is the change is remarkable. And they should not have been hitting us the way they did.
You know, it's not just teachers. It goes to parents, too.
Amen to that.
Yeah.
And for like Sana, the caller just a moment ago, she said, if we got in trouble, the neighbors would spank us too.
I love that.
And I believe that.
Right.
I mean, you knew any adult had free rein on you. It should not be that way. But I think the pendulum has gone too far in the other direction. We'll revisit this another day. The auto show is coming to town. Did you know that? So there they are again at McCormick Place. A representative from Cars.com is in our studio, Joe Weisenfelder, the executive editor of Cars.com. Joe, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having us.
What's the car I need to see at the auto show this year, or the category of car?
If it's the car, I'm going to say it's actually the Genesis GV80. And the reason is, Genesis is the best company that people still don't know about.
That's a car company? That's a manufacturer?
See? Thank you. See,
it's not a division of General Motors or...
It is an offshoot of Hyundai. And despite their Super Bowl commercial, people still don't know what it is. Because to date, which is a couple of years, all they've had is sedans. And they're good sedans. The G70 actually was Cars.com's best of 2019 last year. Great sports sedan. But this is their first SUV, the GV80. So now they're going to get some attention.
Is it a hybrid?
It is not a hybrid. It is a conventional vehicle, but it's super nice, super lush inside. It is really easy to operate, which is so not true of so many luxury vehicles.
Fair enough. Well, give me a price point.
They don't have it yet. But if the cars are any indication, it's going to undercut all of the European brands and give you everything that they give you with everything that the parent company, Hyundai, is known for.
The Genesis that is on the roads now, where does that check in?
The Genesis G70 is, I'm so terrible at remembering prices, but you can get, I'll give you an example, you can get the better engine the turbocharged V6 engine G70 for less than you can get the lesser engine BMW 3 Series.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's all of the best stuff for a price at the very entry level of what the Europeans offer.
Still, this Genesis brand of Hyundai is their luxury brand, so it's a step up, right?
You bet. And what they don't have yet are luxury dealers, which is a bit of a downer. They haven't spread. They're talking about it, and they're going to do it. But for now, they're still selling out of Hyundai dealerships.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
But what they do have is a concierge service. So if you have service or maintenance needs, as we had in the past year, because typically what Cars.com does when we name something our best of the year, we buy that vehicle and test it for the year and see how it holds up. And the G70 held up fine. We got to take advantage of this. And when we had service needs, we just pick up the phone. They come and take it, go do the work, and bring it back to us. And if that isn't the future of car service,
of that,
I don't
please.
Know what is.
Yeah. Isn't that what Tesla does or something akin to that?
To an extent, yes. They
or
do that. And
Tesla.
It's partly out of need.
Yeah, right. I was just going to say, there's not a network of Tesla dealerships, or at least there weren't. Are there now? Are they getting out there more?
It's more or less the same at this point.
Yeah.
And actually, that one of their big struggles at Tesla is keeping up with the demand for maintenance and repair. So in that regard, I think it's probably one of their missed opportunities as well.
Joe Weisenfelder's in our studio from Cars.com. Auto show this weekend. Go to ChicagoAutoShow.com to find out more. It goes through the 17th. Today's the 7th. So you got a week and almost two full weeks to go see the cars in town. How does the Chicago show stack up? It's one of the big ones, right?
As far as consumer shows are concerned, it is the biggest. And if you compare it with stuff like the New York show and even L.A., it's great because there are more versions of everything. Like, you'll see more trim levels of the different vehicles because there's so much floor space. In that regard, it's great. It is a bit of a disappointment, though, this year that, once again, BMW and Mercedes are not represented.
Why not?
Well, a couple brands are just getting out of, or at least experimenting with getting out of, the auto show business.
Why?
They claim that they're you get the corporate word from them. We look at different ways of reaching out to our, consumers and marketing this, that, and the other thing. Overall, it's probably a cost thing because it is very expensive to do it. They're not sure that the return is there on the investment.
It's hard to track, isn't it?
That's a big part of it, and it always has been. And I want to believe, to some extent, that, that expression, the baby, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. I want to believe that the Chicago show, which is such a strong consumer show, that it's the baby, and some of the other auto shows are the bathwater. For example, I mean, it's been even longer that Porsche hasn't even been at the Detroit Auto Show, but Porsche is here. Unfortunately, Volvo, which has been coming to Chicago, they're gone from Chicago now, too. So they're following that trend as well. So we have yet to see. Detroit, you may know, is moving their show from January to June this year. It's the first time ever that they've relocated it, trying to give it new life. So lots of things are changing in the automotive
world. Makes sense to me as a winter event, though, because it's a fun thing to plan to do. And you get to walk around. You almost feel outdoors, but you're indoors. It's McCormick Place. So it's a good walk,
It seems to work for us here, absolutely.
Yeah.
Whereas, on the other hand, in Detroit, it never really seemed to resonate.
Give me another car to look forward to, truck, some kind of vehicle I'll set my eyeballs on. You mentioned the Genesis.
Well, for Chicagoans, it's probably their first chance to see the new Corvette. It's been redesigned. It's finally in its eighth generation. And there were, for people that know the Corvette, there were rumors for decades that, is it going to be a mid-engine car after all these years of being front-engine, rear-wheel drive? It's finally a mid-engine car. And it was actually delayed by the UAW strike by about a month or so. But it went into production this past Monday in Bowling Green, Kentucky. You will find a coupe and a convertible.
Have you driven it, or has Cars.com driven it?
I have driven it. It was made available in fall. I was not able to drive it on a track, unfortunately, but I did drive it for about 30-40 minutes, and I was really, really impressed with it. Unfortunately, the manual transmission is gone, which is very sad.
Oh, no kidding. I get my head around that.
Even the Corvette is not offering a manual anymore.
Well, I guess the guys that drive a Corvette, and they're guys, I know girls drive it too, but I mean, I can just see plenty of fellas loving to run the gears out on their own, and yeah, they don't
absolutely.
Get to do that now.
They don't get to do that, and there's no indication that they're going to add one. It is kind of a dying segment, unfortunately, but the car is really impressive. It one of the reasons they moved the engine, this isn't just a marketing thing. The engineers did as much as they could. With the engine in the front and the drive wheels in the rear, they couldn't make it any quicker, and all their competitors are supercars that are 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds. They moved the engine back closer to the rear wheels. All of a sudden, the base Corvette can do 0 to 60 in under 3 seconds, and it changes the way it handles. Everything's very different.
Speaking of quickness, the Hummer, is that going to be there this year?
It is not. All we've heard is words so far. Words
I've heard about the electric
GMC,
Hummer.
The GMC Hummer that's going to be actually manufactured by GMC. It's going to be like a model under GMC. Redemption story, right? The Hummer that used to be the big gas-guzzling, you know, SUV is going to be back as a fully electric vehicle.
And it sounds like a small mountain coming at you in 0 to 60 in 3 seconds as well. I mean, it's almost alarming, some of the statistics I heard about this, but they're not going to be at the show.
Not at the show.
You've got some categories, though, that you guys talk about on your site. Best family car, most fun to drive car, luxury pickup, best of the year. Let's do that next on WGN. Right now in our studio is Joe Weisenfelder. He's the executive editor at Cars.com. They've been doing this for over two decades now. They're in town for the auto show, which starts this weekend and goes through the 17th at McCormick Place. So we're just talking a little bit about cars and trends. Can I just bounce some of the categories off of you guys?
Sure.
Okay, Cars.com. Best of Awards 2020. Best of Family Car.
Our family car for 2020 is the Volkswagen Atlas. We chose, that's their big three-row SUV. As much as we like minivans, it seems like people still want the minivan alternative. And for families, this was our choice because it is so roomy inside, and not just in the general sense, but each row. The third row fits adults comfortably. The second row is comfortable. We also do what we call car seat checks, which is child safety seat checks, to see how well it accommodates car seats of different sizes. It is tops in that regard. So even though we did our 7-vehicle comparison test with other models and it came in third behind the Kia Telluride and the Hyundai Palisade, for the family aspect, just that roominess, the ability to accommodate everything and cargo as well, it was number one. That was our choice.
For the best family car. Mm-hmm. By the way, you told me off the air, and I think we should mention this on the air, that say you don't have that one and you're ruining this announcement that yours isn't the best. You said that pretty much cars generally made available to the public, there aren't many dogs out there anymore.
It's not like it used to be 5 years ago, certainly not 10 years ago. I mean, and that's why, you know, we have a lot of car people on our staff. You know, I consider myself a car guy and a gearhead, but that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with choosing a car because you like the way the controls work or the touch screen or anything like that, because so much of the other stuff has been figured out and is reliable.
I drove for a short while just because we were doing commercials for this dealer, a car, and if you set your phone on the space between the two seats up front, it wirelessly charged your phone. And I thought, that's awesome. I don't know. It turned out to be a $70,000 phone charger, but doggone it, that was a nice feature in the car. I even like the position of the coffee cup holders on some cars more than others. And is that a purchasing decision for people?
It absolutely is. And seriously, I think there was a time where I would have said that's too trivial to guide your decision because there are more important matters. Nowadays, literally, cars are good enough overall, if you're paying attention to things that matter, like how it rides and your visibility and your family's needs and stuff like that, the deciding factor, you know, the closer might be something like that.
Is there a Bluetooth technology or just a technology car that you like better than another?
Not so much that, but people will look into whether it has a particular feature now or not. And this is actually one of my favorite topics, is the fact that cars last longer than ever, on average almost 12 years, right?
Really?
But they can feel out of date really quickly. And that's why it's important that some vehicles are starting to become updatable. And Most people don't know this. Tesla gets credit for this because they've had those over-the-air updates to update not just things like what's in the dashboard, the touchscreen menus and stuff like that, but important things like how the safety systems work, how seamless they are. They evolve over time. Anything that runs on code. Well, now there are other vehicles as well, BMW X5 3 Series. GM is big into this now. They launched with the Cadillac CT5 and CT4, which are at the auto show, the Corvette we talked about, the Tahoe, the Suburban.
What do? They update your software?
They are all on new platforms that are wirelessly updatable. So if there's any new feature that can be added just by changing software, and again, not just about some little thing on your dashboard, but just about the way the vehicle works, anything that's based on code, which is a lot of how cars work. And the Ford, you know, the Ford Mustang Mach-E you might have heard of, the new electric car that's coming by the end of the year, that will be Ford's first vehicle that does the same thing. I think this is one of the most powerful things to hit the industry in a long time, and it's just starting to roll out.
Best pickup. What does Cars.com say is the best pickup?
We chose the Chevy Silverado 2500 and 3500. That's their heavy-duty vehicle. And we chose among the vehicles that were updated and redesigned for this year, mainly because it's so good at doing its work. I mean, it's great for towing and hauling.
But I might not need that.
You probably don't.
But if you need that, that's a really good version of that.
But if you need it, and bear in mind, it was up against five or six others, including its direct competitor, the Ram 2500 or heavy duty. And we just found in actual use, towing and hauling, which we do, it performed better and it has lots of nice additional features like a camera system that makes the trailer behind you vanish. So you're looking in your dashboard and it stitches together images from multiple cameras and it's as if the trailer is not there. It's pretty amazing.
I've been in cars and I don't know how they do that. I mean, not only do I not see the camera, but it looks like there's an aerial shot over the vehicle I'm driving and I see 360 around my car, actual video. I have no idea how that happens.
It's amazing. It's one of the most, I think that was one of the most amazing advancements that I've seen when it came out a few years ago. And now so many cars have it.
What about luxury car? Which one do you like?
This one blew a lot of minds, got some people a little bit heated. We chose the Ram 1500 pickup truck.
For the best luxury car.
You got it. In the Limited and Laramie Longhorn trim levels. Yes, I know it's not a car and it's not a luxury brand. And I can tell you, when we say this to people that have experienced those trucks, they go, oh yeah, I can totally see that. They are so beautiful inside. Hmm. The leather, the materials, they smell great. There's daring use of color. And one of the things to bear in mind is if there may be more luxurious vehicles out there, but we always consider the entire vehicle. We're not going to give an award to something that is luxurious and also in some other way deficient. This vehicle, the Ram 1500, does a great job as a pickup truck, and it also has air spring suspension that makes it ride comfortably and kind of luxuriously. It's quiet. It's overall a great vehicle. People that have experienced it are amazed, and we just kept coming back to it. We're like, are we really going to give this award to a pickup truck instead of a luxury brand?
Hey, good for you.
We just kept thinking, this has to be it.
Think out of the box. Peter Greenberg joins us, Ion Travel, in the next half hour. We'll talk about how safe it is to travel around the world on a boat or on a plane. Right now, Joe Weisenfelder's in our studio. He's the executive editor of Cars.com. What about CD players? 708 says, 630. Hey, John, are there CD players included in any new cars? I think they're keying in on the fact that I bought a new car a couple of years ago and was trying to jam the CD into the dash and couldn't find the slot. It was an eye-opener to me. Some of us would like CD players in our cars as original equipment still.
I'm one of them. I'm a creature of habit. Sometimes I just want to grab a CD and throw it into the car. But
that's not happening.
You're correct. They're starting to go away. The more test vehicles we get, the less we see CD players.
What about this? Hey, John, Dan from Peoria. Thanks, Dan, for the email, Dan Phillips. It says, does this software that you were talking about, where they can update your cars wirelessly from the manufacturer, does this software dependence and improvement also come with the increased potential for hacking?
Theoretically, absolutely. It comes with the potential, but... And believe me, the automakers are aware of it, and they are putting lots of resources into preventing that from happening. Let's hope they get it right.
John, I have a direct competitor to the Prius, 58 miles per gallon average in my Hyundai IONIQ.
Ionic.
Comes with a wireless phone charger, a real transmission, paddle shifters, $26,000 new. There's an endorsement for the Hyundai. You like that?
I like the Ioniq a lot. And for what it's worth, the Ioniq plug-in hybrid and the Ioniq fully electric are among the most efficient electric or electrified vehicles on the market. People, once they see a plug, they kind of ignore the fact that there are still efficiency ratings in what's called MPGE, miles per gallon equivalent. And it still matters, and especially matters because the more efficient the vehicle is, the faster it charges. Because the same amount of electricity gives you, fills your battery faster, or gives you, you know, more miles. And that's one of the most impressive things about that car.
I don't know if there's a rating on this. I don't have an electric car, but if I did, I'd want to know how far I could go. Maybe you just answered that. But is there a car I should buy for long-distance travel that's electric?
Typically, if you want to go really far, your two best options are a hybrid or a diesel vehicle.
No, I want electric.
Purely electric?
I don't know. Maybe not. Then skip it.
Currently, the longest ranges are Teslas, and there's a promise for the Ford Mustang Mach-E to be about a 300-mile range as well. Rumor has it Tesla might be going as high as 400 soon.
No kidding. Wow. It's a 256. We have about half a minute left, and I want to get Jim's question on there. Jim, you're on the air. What can we do for you?
Yes, sir. I'm just curious. I noticed that all these pickup trucks are big and extended cabs and everything like that. Are they ever coming back with a small pickup truck anytime soon?
Good question. Small pickup truck.
I'm not sure it's what you're looking for, but the smallest thing that might be considered a pickup truck is something called the Hyundai Santa Cruz, I believe is the name, that's coming soon. It is a very small, light-duty pickup truck. He's right, though. Even the mid-size pickup trucks have grown and are a lot more like what used to be a full-size pickup.
It's 10:56. We're out of time. Cars.com. Visit cars.com, and you'll, I guess, read Joe's writing. You do write there as well, Joe? Are you one of the authors?
Sure do.
Reporters on there. He is the executive editor, too, at cars.com, Joe Weisenfelder. We're out of time, but thanks for coming into our studio. Welcome back to Chicago.
Well, this is where we're headquartered, so this was easy for us.
Well, then come in next week as well. We'll do more of this.
All right. I'll see you tomorrow morning.
It's 11:05. This is WGN. At least I think it's my turn. Steve, you're all done with the news, and I'll talk on the radio. Is that correct?
Go.
It'll be just like a radio show. So in our studio is Peter Greenberg. He is the host of Ion Travel. You hear it Saturday afternoons, sometimes at a different time, but Saturday afternoons at WGN Radio. He's also in town to speak at the Travel and Adventure Show in Rosemont on Sunday. Peter, welcome to Chicago. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you, sir.
You and I, all of us here at the radio station, have been talking to you for many years.
And this is the first time we've actually had a chance to wave at each other.
And I feel like I know you, and I don't know how well you know me, but I've, of course, been a listener and a fan, and you've been a great resource for people like us here and our many listeners as well. So, again, welcome to the WGN Radio family.
Happy to be here.
Seriously. How long have you been doing that show of yours?
20 years.
Are you kidding? Because it only recently has come on our station.
Exactly, yeah, 20 years. And we do it from a different location in the world every single week.
Is that the conceit of the show that we'll
travel? It's one of them, yeah. If we're doing a travel show, we better travel.
Yeah, but every week.
Every week.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, I take 1 week off, so it's actually 51 weeks a year I do the show from a different location.
So this week it's from Chicago?
No, this week it's actually from San Diego. Next week it'll be from Anguilla. The week after that, it'll be from Hawaii. The week after that, it goes on and on and on. But it's not just destinations, because travel's new. So we're talking about the Boeing 737 MAX. We've done that on your show. We're talking about coronavirus. We're talking about which airline lies to you in their frequent flyer program and which ones tell the truth, that kind of stuff.
Are people rightly worried about traveling right now?
The F word that starts with fear is the right description, and I happen to think it's unwarranted. If you take a look at the actual number of cases that we're talking about, look, it's a strong optic. We see it on television, and you put that in context with the flu, not even close in terms of the number of cases, not only the number of cases, the number of deaths. Yes. But now let's put everything in perspective. If you see that the airlines have canceled all their flights to Asia, not just for the month of February, extending through May, you would think, wow, this is such a terrible problem for, you know, from a disease perspective. Guess what? The reason why the airlines canceled that wasn't because of an overabundance of caution because of the virus. It's because airlines depend on forward bookings and reservations. They had none. The outbound Chinese travel market is the largest in the world, and it has absolutely collapsed. Not just China, worldwide. So that's why they canceled the flights. There was nobody there.
Outbound, what does that mean? Leaving Asia?
From China, yeah.
But I mean, you think those people would be anxious to get out.
They're quarantined. They're locked down. So what's happening is, and here's the silver lining for us, believe it or not, there's good news. It's not about flying to China or flying from China to the United States. It's where else were the Chinese going that they're now not going? So let me give you an example. What do you think the round-trip airfare is right now between Boston and London?
Boston and London, $500.
$255.
Wow.
Because it's
guessing low.
Yeah, you're not going to the Showcase Showdown. But it's cheaper to fly from Boston to London than Boston to New York right now because the Chinese aren't going to London.
Wait, do that again. It's cheaper to fly
from Boston to London than it is from Boston to New York.
Because
there's excess capacity because the Chinese aren't going to London and points further. Same thing in Paris. Same thing in Portugal, in Spain, in Thailand. So, and this is not just going to extend for this month. How about through July at the earliest?
So as an American listening in the Chicago area.
It's a buyer's market.
To Europe, to the world?
Absolutely.
What about domestically? I don't suppose it reverberates all the way down to traveling.
Well,
tubes.
It's starting to because they're not coming here. They're not filling those seats. By the way, it's not just airlines. Hotel occupancies are dropping because they're not staying at hotels. Retail. You're not going to see a line of Chinese visitors in front of the Louis Vuitton store in Paris now. They're not showing up. And what this means is if you do your homework and realize that the power of the U.S. dollar is so strong overseas, you have people not traveling still because of Brexit. You have people not traveling because of their concerns about American immigration policies. Wow. Buyer's market across the board.
You and I talked about that, how the Chinese travel with their dollars and they line up at high-end stores in Chicago.
Do you know what the average Chinese visitor spends in America per week?
Okay, that's another one for me. How much is the average Chinese? A week?
A week.
I'd say that $1,500.
$7,000. So you take Nordstrom's, you take high-end stores, right? They're hurting because the Chinese aren't showing up to buy.
So it's a buyer's market for Americans.
It is.
Actually, you probably get this all the time. A buddy and I are thinking about traveling to Norfolk, Virginia in a few weeks.
Cool place.
I don't know. I guess the question is, what advice do you have when you're flying on a relatively short horizon domestically, buying tickets? I want value.
Okay. Well, the first thing you're not going to do, which, by the way, I know you already did, so now you're in trouble with me, is you don't book it online. It's the biggest mistake you can make, and I'll tell you why. Only 52% of the available inventory is shown online. It's only what the travel providers want you to see. That's airlines, hotels, cruise lines, rental cars, you name it. So you're there in your bathrobe at 2 o'clock in the morning feeling very happy and satisfied that you hit all the right keystrokes. In that process, you've disenfranchised yourself from 48% of what's out
there. So what do? I pick up the phone and call their 800 number?
An unbelievable notion of having a conversation. Yes, sir.
People think that's old school and inconvenient.
Yeah, well, guess what? I'm going to save you a lot of money. Because I'm not telling you not to go online to research. Absolutely do that. But then pick up the phone because what they're seeing on their screen is absolutely not what you're seeing on your screen.
Do we see the same flights, though? Like,
no.
There are flights they have that I don't even see online?
I'll give you an example. I flew from Sao Paulo to Buenos Aires. Name the airline I flew. Just take a wild guess.
South American Airlines.
Well, okay, you're in the right region, but you're wrong. You know what it was?
Uh-uh.
Turkish. Now, how does Turkish Airlines fly between Sao Paulo and Buenos Aires? Well, you're not going to see it on the website, but they have a flight that starts in Istanbul, stops in Sao Paulo, and continues on to Buenos Aires as a shuttle flight. You know what that cost me to fly in business class on a brand new 777?
No.
$100, okay? Because they had to move the plane. There are great secret flights that you're not going to see on the website that you can get just by having a conversation.
What do you think of the markup of flying business class?
Depends on where you're flying and which airline. There are some airline business classes that are delusional. I mean, it's a coach seat with a photograph of what you would have had 10 years ago. You know, I mean, stop. The real difference right now, which is it's hard to find, is the difference between business class and first, except on a couple of Asian carriers.
Well, I'm sorry. I've walked onto plenty of airplanes. Not plenty, but I mean, Brenda and I travel internationally about once a year.
Yeah.
And more often than not, now we're able to fly business class.
Right.
But there's no first class. It's just it's the first set of seats.
Well, domestic in this country is different because there are only about four or five different routes that they actually have a first class section on a three class plane, first, business, and coach. You know what those are? The Transcon flights between New York and L.A. Why? Because of the Directors Guild, the Producers Guild, the Screen Actors Guild. They have those are contractual deals that their members have to fly first class. So the airlines get that revenue. They have a first class section.
I know people who are flying from Chicago to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Or Chicago to Paris.
Yeah. That first class is at best business class.
Okay. And it's worth, I guess the question I want you to help them resolve is it worth it? Because it's going to cost a lot more, but doggone it, that's a long flight. And it's so nice up there.
I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me about 25 years ago, which will answer your question. I was going over to Paris to interview Costa Garvis, the director. He had just done a movie called Missing with Paul Newman. And it wasn't Paul Newman, it was another movie, but he was doing it with Jack Lemmon, excuse me. And I was going as a journalist. The magazine sent me the ticket, right? And because it was over 2,500 miles, I qualified for a first-class ticket. I took one look at this ticket. It was $16,000. I said, this is not a ticket. This is a Toyota. I can't. There is no seat in the world that's going to justify me taking it. I didn't do it. I could not do it.
No kidding.
Yeah.
I would have taken it. So your
no,
point
you
is.
No, you wouldn't.
Your point is they're overcharging.
Well, the reason why you're on a plane, the real reason, let's be honest, is to go from point A to point B and not die. Okay, are we good?
Yeah.
All right. So I don't need rich Corinthian leather. I mean, with a $16,000 price differential, are you kidding me?
No, but if it was the difference between $800 and $1,700,
oh, okay,
$1,500,
and it was a 10-hour flight, I'm in.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah. So I guess it depends on your pocketbook and pain threshold.
Well, when it comes to pain threshold, I don't care. We're all getting abused. So,
really? You don't think that the service on airplanes is very good, Peter Greenberg?
I actually think that on some routes, the airlines have a philosophy that we're not happy until you're not happy. I do.
I'm sorry to hear that. You, a guy who travels every week.
Anybody who listens to this show has been abused.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Look, there are 47 different points of abuse that are waiting for you from the time you want to leave until the time you're waiting for your luggage.
That's a number you made up?
Oh, I counted them.
47?
47.
You mean the ticket agent, the line?
Oh, no,
line.
Before you even leave home. Oh, absolutely.
47 different contact points where the airline could inconvenience you.
Or not tell you the entire story.
Sure.
Or refer you to page 5 of their website, which we never get to. Things that are going to get, you know, going to bite you in the, you know what.
We got to take a break. It's 11:15. You may have a question about travel. I thought I would ask you, though, about coronavirus.
We can talk about that.
Should I worry about flying or taking a cruise ship? Peter, answer that after this. Peter Greenberg, host of the Eye on Travel Saturday show on WGN Radio in the afternoons, is in Chicago. He's in our studio. By the way, Peter, you said that you think the best way to buy an airplane ticket isn't online. It's on the phone. They have inventory that's not available. They often have better prices that are available. And you won't know it unless you talk to a human being. So people are saying, who am I supposed to have this conversation with? My local travel agent, the airline itself?
Actually, the answer is both of those. I mean, anybody who's a human being who has that access. Travel agent's a great opportunity.
You think there's a markup, though, with the travel agent?
No, here's the thing. Travel agents have, if they're good travel agents, preferred supplier relationships with individual airlines, hotels, cruise lines. When they can get a room that you can't get, or they can get you an airline seat that you can't get, and they want to charge you $30 for it, thank you very much.
So the markup isn't prohibitive when you're buying an airplane.
And the other thing is this. If you're looking at inventory that you can't find, and the airline's going to charge you $30 to have that conversation, but in the process, you're finding a different way to get there and you're saving money, I'll write the check.
So I'll call Kelly Cruises at 630-990-1111. I travel with those folks. There's a free one for you, Sue. But you think that's just as good a way to buy an airplane ticket? A round trip airplane
ticket? Well, in the cruise industry, that's different because 90% of the cruise ship distribution is done through travel agents, and they do have preferred supplier relationships with different lines. So why wouldn't you, of course? But with an airline, here's the beautiful thing. You call the 800 number, and if you don't like the other person on the phone or they're not being helpful to you, you have the option of, guess what, hanging up, wait 10 seconds, call back.
Same number.
Why not? And then get somebody who understands the difference between Dallas and Dulles. And Delhi and New Mexico.
Okay, so you say call the 800 number for the airline or travel agent and maybe call more than one airline.
Why not?
A little more homework, though. I mean, this is a little more effort on my part.
Well, if you want to be lazy and overspend, go online. Be my guest. Oh, by the way, if you can find something online, at least you've done a good comparison shop by having the conversation without spending any money.
Should I be? Okay, so you said we are overly concerned about coronavirus.
Well, we should be concerned, but we shouldn't be overly concerned.
Okay, so should I?
Ask me if I'd go to China today. Yes, I would. Now, would I go to Wuhan? No, they're on lockdown. But by the way, I wasn't planning to go to Wuhan anyway.
I didn't know there was a Wuhan, one of the most populous cities on Earth,
yes,
until this happened.
There are probably 11 Chinese cities that are bigger than most U.S. cities that will ever be.
Wuhan is 11 million people, I think,
exactly,
is the number.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
But remember, I was going to Hong Kong during SARS, and everybody thought I was nuts. I wasn't nuts. You practice basic, good personal hygiene, washing your hands before and after going to the bathroom, going after before and after eating. And then if you're on the plane, you know what you do? Antiseptic wipes on the tray table, the armrest, the head backs, and the nozzles above you. And you're going to be just fine.
Do you do that all the time anyway?
I would like to lie and say yes, but I don't.
But it's not a bad idea.
It's a great idea.
You would not worry then about going through the International Terminal 5 at O'Hare?
No.
Okay.
I worry about taking the subway in New York.
What about a cruise ship? Same stories?
A cruise ship, when you think about it, I mean, if you really want to get down to a sort of a ridiculous definition of terms, it's a floating Petri dish. Right? I mean, it's an enclosed metal environment with a recirculating air system. So, by the way, you do need to practice the same personal hygiene. There's a reason why they have all the hand sanitizers in every public room. Use them. You know, but I do have an issue with the cruise lines. They have a draconian refund policy. So that if you need to cancel your cruise anywhere within 60 days of the actual sailing, they make it very costly for you. In many cases, you lose all your money. So there's no way for me to prove this, but I actually intuitively believe it, that you have a lot of people taking cruises who walk on already sick because they didn't want to lose the money.
Think about that.
So you know what that means? You don't have to go to the buffet wearing a hazmat suit. Just stay away from the salad bar.
Is that your advice?
For me, it wouldn't stop me from taking a cruise.
Okay.
Yeah.
Marie had a question for you. Marie, you're on WGN Radio. You're on the air. Hi, Marie.
Thank you. Hi. I'm trying to use mileage to get a flight from Chicago to Dublin and return from Edinburgh. On the way over, it's 57,000 miles. On the way back, it's 160,000 miles.
Which airline?
When did the mileage jump like that?
Which airline is that? Can't you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know. Can you hear him? He wanted to know, which airline are you flying on, Marie?
American Airlines.
Well, first of all, and this is coach?
No, actually, it was business class.
Okay, you scared me a little bit with that mileage number. Here's the thing. The airlines have gone to a draconian system of mileage. It's based on, it's not only difficult to redeem it, it's now difficult to earn it. They've gone to a fare-based system. So that in the old days, if I flew 2,400 miles between Los Angeles and New York, no matter what I paid for my ticket, I got a minimum of 2,400 miles. If I paid more for my ticket or was in a different class of service, I got more. But I couldn't get less than 2,400 miles. Now they base it on how much you paid for your ticket. So I can fly 2,400 miles on a basic economy ticket and get 400 miles. So that's the first problem. The second problem is they've gone to dynamic pricing in terms of how they redeem the miles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and what that means is, in the old days, you used to publish a calendar, if you will, where you go up to the calendar and say, if I wanted to fly on Thursday, it would be 25,000 miles. I could see it would be 30,000 miles on Friday and 10,000 miles on Saturday. You could pick accordingly. Those charts have disappeared. Now you roll the dice. You tell them when you want to fly, and they'll tell you what they think you have to redeem. So if I were you, it's basically you have to roll the dice here. And if you want to go to Ireland, you know what? Pick a week earlier, a week later, 2 days earlier, 2 days later, and see if that mileage number changes. Because right now, the mileage numbers you're quoting me seem awfully high.
Right. Actually, the timing does not change. I've gone all the way through to like November or even December.
Oh, my God.
Because to visit family, I'm not looking to do touristy things.
Well, you know what? What she's just done is prove the point that the airlines now make more money from their mileage programs than they actually make from operating as airlines. That is a fact.
Right.
I'm sorry. I don't even know. Marie, thanks for the call. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm sorry we couldn't be more help, but I mean, at least the information is good to know.
But that's a fact. I mean, for example, every year, the big financial institutions, Chase for United, Citibank for American, American Express for Delta, write checks. They buy miles from the airlines at the rate of about 1.4 cents a mile. And they send a check to each of these airlines each year for over $1.5 billion each. Okay, knowing full well that the redemption levels are 8%, they're getting a better rate of return than mafia loan sharks. Okay, so they know, and so do the credit card companies know, that we're all mileage addicts. I admit to it. We all do, right? We're all mileage junkies. You like to say we got all these miles. Good luck redeeming them if the redemption levels are only 8%.
Why are they only 8%?
Because the airlines don't want to give up seats to revenue passengers.
So a lot of times where you would use it, you can't, and you end up eating them.
How about this? Question of the day. Second question of the day for you. Ready?
Okay, yeah.
How many miles are there out there that are eligible to be redeemed that have not been redeemed?
3,016.
You're definitely not going
3,016.
No, 23 trillion. 23
so that's
trillion.
Like Saturn and back.
No, it's about 8 round trips to Saturn. So the point is, if you're listening to this show and you have miles, forgetting Ireland for a second or Scotland, what you want to do is look at, get yourself an atlas. Treat yourself to it. Buy an atlas and open it up to any page you want and pick a place you've never been. Your friends never want to go. It's not on your bucket list. It's not Paris, which is on everybody's bucket list. And then think 330 days out and use your miles for that, because the more you keep those miles, the less they're valuable.
What's the airport that you like the most? What do you think of Midway and O'Hare?
Well, I love Midway. I've always loved Midway. It's just an easier airport for me. But if you're asking me which airport in the United States I love the most, I think Tampa does a great job. Denver's getting better. It really is. It didn't used to be that great, but it's getting better. But very few airports in the United States I like.
I think the upgrades at the Minneapolis International.
Yeah, they've done a good job, too.
Is nice places to eat.
And believe it or not, they usually get a bad rap, Detroit. They actually have a good airport.
Huh.
But that we've now exhausted my list of great airports in the United States. Seriously.
Internationally.
When Joe Biden described LaGuardia as a third world airport, he was actually insulting a lot of third world airports.
Internationally, is there one that you think is stellar?
Oh, there's some great ones. Korea, unbelievable airport at Incheon. Unbelievable. Hong Kong is great. Singapore is great. And a real sleeper, but an amazing airport. Seriously. Doha and Qatar. They have thought of everything. That airport, I mean, literally, I go out there 3 hours early for a flight just because it's just so much fun.
Peter Greenberg is speaking at the Travel and Adventure Show in Rosemont on Sunday. You can check out their website for all of the details. The Travel and Adventure Show, Sunday in Rosemont. You'll hear his radio show. Do you know what time you're on Saturday?
I think it's either 3 to 5 or 2 to 4.
If it's 3 to 5, it'll be right after me. I'm on from 1 to 3 on Saturday.
Then I'll be right behind you.
What a dynamic duo.
Oh, my God. Stand back. Call the authorities.
Nice to have you here, Peter.
Thank you, John.
It's amazing what you can find on the internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that.
Oh. Because they can track that, you know. Okay, what are you talking about?
It is enough to make a person honest, right? You say, well, I'd like to dip my toe in that, but I'm not going to. Now, I was thinking, Steve, about the GE brand cafe dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
If when you open it up, the door goes, and mine's relatively new, and when you close it, it goes, why is that? So I got some of that spray 1040 or W2 oil, and I
10W40. No, that's a motor oil. No, WD-40.
I got that stuff that comes in the little thin spray, and I hit it in all of the moving spots down there, and it wasn't doing a thing. And I thought, I was so proud of myself. I was really getting into it. I was going to brag to you about it.
Your glass is a little greasier.
Exactly. I mean, then I'm mopping this stuff up, but I thought if I just keep putting the whole can in there, it's going to find that spot. And it wasn't working. So then I went to YouTube and I typed in, how do you get rid of these? I mean, literally like this, you know, the squeaky door on a GE brand cafe dishwasher. Boom. Videos of guys going, hi, I'm going to show you how the very thing I was wanting.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
It's amazing. And Brenda's always, I tell her, here's what I did. And she goes, who puts a video up like that? I think it is the nicest thing about humanity. These people aren't looking for a buck. They're amateurs or they're anonymous. They're just people who said, I have a trick or a skill, a technique, and I'm going to share it with the world. It's a wonderful thing.
And so did you do it?
No, I'm not going to do what they said to do because it. I got to pull the whole thing out.
Yeah.
And the source of the squeak isn't metal on metal. It's this little nylon cord that holds the door or helps the door stay attached to the frame. And it's the rolling of that cord around a little wheel. So to get to that, this is what my video told me, I got to pull the thing out and then deal with that issue.
Well, pulling it out isn't that hard.
It will be for Brenda, but but I haven't done that, and then I'm kind of worried about undoing stuff, and I know I'm going to render that thing inoperable if I get in there.
So how often a week do you use the dishwasher?
We're almost in the habit of using it every day.
Okay, and I guess you are opening it every day several times to put stuff in. So
yeah, right. That
it is
too.
An issue.
I know where you're going with that, right. And I can live with this. Trust me, I can. Right now, I am. But now I'm like, now it's in my ear. I didn't even hear it before. Brenda goes, when are we going to get that fixed? So now I got that on my mind. But I just think it's amazing. Like, I don't know what the weird things are that you've discovered a solution to, but it's really spectacular.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember because I've done that not too long ago. And you can always find your problem. You know, there's always a video there to help.
I know. And in this day and age where the internet is pollution and everybody's mad at every whatever, I mean, for some weird reason, that really reaffirms my faith in all of us. You know, that we're bright, we're able, and we're willing to share. It's just people helping people for no other reason other than they want to share.
Well, I think some of them are channels, though, aren't they, where they sort of try to make a profit off of it.
They get enough clicks
views,
and then they get money.
Right.
Fair enough to them. But some of the ones that I'm clicking on have 17 views, you know. Maybe 17,000 for yours, but mine don't seem to be real professionally made. It's just a guy. Sometimes they'll have on their sweatshirt, you know, their website or something. And if that's the commercial, I'm okay with that. That's for sure. So line two. All right, well, we'll take... line two, producer Elif, am I taking line two? I'm looking at my producer. She says, take line two. It says Mayor Rybeck. Is this Mayor Rybeck? This is John. You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning, John. You should invite Lou Manfredini over.
Wait a minute.
Make him a pizza, and he'll lubricate your dishwasher.
Which Mayor Rybeck is this?
In beautiful Wadsworth, Illinois.
Because R.T. Rybeck was the mayor of Minneapolis. And
you are correct.
Was a terrific mayor and is just a terrific person. No relation to that Mayor Rybeck.
I am not, but if he was a terrific person, I'm sure he was a relative.
Are you really a mayor, Mayor Rybeck?
I truly am for 12 years.
Of what town again?
Wadsworth.
I'm sorry, I don't know that. I won't forget it now. Congratulations.
Home of the shanty and the gold pyramid.
How is that gold pyramid?
No mayor goes without going on the radio without plugging his hometown his hometown things. What's the gold pyramid, Mr. Mayor?
The gold pyramid was built several years ago by one of the local residents, and it has spring water that they claim has tremendous minerals in it that cure many health issues. I've tried it. It didn't cure anything for me, but it tasted good.
So that's not a residence? That's just a thing that people can go and see?
It was a residence before the fire, yes.
Yeah, that was a big fire. Was it last year or 2 years ago?
It's been a couple of years already, and Jim Jr. is putting it back together.
Well, I think I'm recollecting in my head a place, and I thought it was where somebody lived. It was, huh?
His parents did live there, yes.
I'll
They've had
darned.
To relocate since
How about
the fire.
That? Okay,
beautiful.
I did call Lou. I hate to keep asking Lou because he's a friend, you know, for free information. Lou makes a living doing this, and every time I ask him, I feel like I'm asking for a handout.
But you know, he would be clear on the difference between that 1040 and WD-40.
He would have helped me on that. You're absolutely right, Mr. Mayor. All right, you can stop laughing at me now, sir.
I'm not laughing.
Yeah, you kind of are. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Thanks for the great job you do.
Yeah, we have fun here. Lou's a great help to all of us. Do you have that feeling when you call Lou?
What, that I don't want to bother him because he's a friend?
Yeah.
Not so much.
Brenda doesn't want me to bother him. She goes, now don't be bothering Lou. He and Mary Beth are probably having dinner.
I certainly have done it less now than I used to, but I might send him a text or something.
That's the way I do it. So right. I'll start with, hey. And then if he hits me right back, I get the feeling that he's free and available, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's up? And then he goes, not much. What's up with you? And then I call him. Literally, I called him from a store one time buying a light fixture. And so I asked him the other day, I said, how do I fix the squeak? And he gave me an answer that wasn't the answer I needed. So then I thought I need to hit him back, but he was on vacation. And so I thought, I'll watch the YouTube video.
Well, I've been texting with him on his vacation.
Conrad, what did you want to say? You're on WGN Radio. Hi, Conrad. You're on the air.
Hi, King John. I was having a problem with the refrigerator freezer. The lower part of the refrigerator is a freezer, and at the bottom of the freezer, there was constantly ice building up. So I looked up on YouTube or online the model number, and I got a YouTube video that said, here's what you got to do. Replace this drain hose that's in the back of the refrigerator. You got to remove the fan, four screws, put the new hose in, put the four screws back in, put it all together. Everything was fine. That part cost me $12.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. And if you'd asked a guy to come out, it probably would have cost you $120.
$112, I'm sure.
Yeah. Yeah. How about that? Yeah. So that's exactly what I'm talking about. Make sure you unplug the appliance before you service it, sir.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for the phone call. Conrad, you have a good day.
Thanks for talking. Thank you.
Yeah, likewise. Hey, Stan, what was on your mind? You're on the air.
Same thing like your other guy about Manfredini over there. First thing off, well, you said that bad word on the radio. The FCC will be on you in no time. That starts with a W.
Yeah.
Mr. Manfredini will tell you the product that you know he sells also is called Super Zilla. It outbeats all these other lubricants for everything you want to do, and it does not deteriorate your cables.
Super Zilla. All right, Lou's, Lou may be back from vacation now, but I'm making a note of this right now. Okay, good. Super
yeah.
Zilla. All right, hey, Stan, thanks for the help on that. I'll tell Lou you said hi.
I talk to him every weekend.
Pam, you're on the air. Talk to me, Pam.
Hi. Hi, I was cleaning the kitchen the other day, and I said to my husband, look up on YouTube how to clean a Keurig. He goes, well, you just run water and vinegar in that tub, and I go, oh, no, you can take it apart. It was the best thing. He was out of my hair for like 4 hours. He had that sucker apart in 100 pieces, cleaned it with a toothbrush. I didn't have to worry about him. He was good to go.
So
and he put it all back and it worked.
Did he get the how-to on that on a YouTube video or he
yeah,
just tinkered?
Yeah. How-to. I heard all of a sudden I heard him in the other room and he was listening to the person on YouTube saying how to do this and then he rewound it, he put his little phone on the counter, and he, step by step, 4 hours, he was good to go. He was cleaning that little sucker out with a toothbrush and Q-tips, and he was out of my hair. That's
and
all
the,
that counted.
Amen to that. In fact, if you just Google how to get rid of my husband, the video will come up of cleaning a Keurig. But the, so he's watching this video, and
yep.
That's an issue with Keurigs, that they need to be cleaned out and everything?
Well, that little dispenser that put the cups in, it gets all dirty and crusty, and you know, they said there's a possibility of mold in there, and I said, well, just figure out how to do this, because I don't drink coffee, I don't clean it, you do it, it's your machine, and he did, and it was pretty good, so.
Amen to that. Thanks for the phone call, Pam. You have a good day. In fact, I can think about the other time I did this, Steve. The time previous to how do I oil my dishwasher door, that I went to YouTube was how to draw a wiener dog.
What?
Yep. So we've got wiener dogs at our house, and we had some drawing pads and some colored pencils. And I was looking at Daisy, our dizzy dappled dachshund, and I thought I'd like to draw a nice picture of Daisy, but I couldn't do it. So then I went to the YouTube, and I typed in, how do I draw a wiener dog? And son of a gun, there's a guy. And then he showed me how to do it, where you put your pencil, how you draw these little circles, and then you erase certain parts. And son of a gun, I am a terrific wiener dog drawer now.
By the way, we just got a text with pictures from Lou. He's back.
Uh-oh.
So, if we have any questions.
A lot of helpful information on the show today. Peter Greenberg was on a little while ago. He said if you want to buy an airplane ticket, the best way to do it is to do it on a phone conversation with a live person. Call the 800 number for the airline or even a local travel agent. But more inventory at better prices is available to phone operators than to websites. I don't do it that way. I think I will. Thank you for the help. We asked you today to tell us the movies that you would ask your kids to watch or have asked your kids to watch. A texter said yesterday they had their kids watch 12 Angry Men before they registered to vote. Okay, so I asked you that question. It's on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John there. We're getting lots of comments about that. One movie that pops up a lot, Shawshank Redemption. Not surprising, it's regarded as one of the great movies of the last X years. But Thelma and Louise pops up a lot, too. Ladies, gentlemen, you're asking your kids to watch Thelma and Louise. Okay, but a lot of them are obvious ones about people overcoming racial injustice or some sort of barrier in life. And then some of them are just fun movies. For Steve, it's Diner. Lauren Lapka is sitting in Traffic Central now. Mary Vanderveld out, Lapka in. Lauren, you don't have any kids yet, so
no.
But someday you're going to want, you're going to sit them down, you're going to say, I want you to watch this movie. This is the movie I want you to see. Does one jump to spring to mind for you in that case?
All of the Star Wars movies and Harry Potter movies. Because that was the basis of my childhood.
Yeah, really. Well, I guess if you wanted to share, that's the thing for me, some of the movies are not necessarily important or inspiring movies. They're just movies I loved, and I want you to have that too. And then some of these, you know, answers are more aspirational. Steve's, yours is just fun, not aspirational.
No, not at all. Mine, I think, is about the power of friendship and the ups and downs of friendship.
Oh,
and,
in the case of Diner?
Yeah.
What's the best line from the movie Diner?
Oh, I don't remember specific lines like that, but I remember the Baltimore Colts quiz?
Yeah, sure.
And the records being left out of order and things
it's
like that.
Such an interesting scene.
But at the core are what? Four friends, yeah. And then we see their lives. So that's kind of what the value of it is for me.
You want to fight? Do you want to fight?
Is that from the movie?
I'll hit you so hard I'll kill your whole family.
Who said that?
Isn't that a great line? It's when they get jailed for knocking over the nativity scene.
Oh,
so
Kevin
they're
Bacon.
In the jail. And it's not Kevin, though. It's the kid back from college, and he's sitting there, and the guy is bugging him in jail. And I thought, oh, this movie is all of a sudden about to get dark. He goes, you want to fight? Do you want to fight? I'll hit you so hard I'll kill your whole family. I thought, I'm going to use that sometime. Except, I can't fight.
Well, and here you did.
It's right. It's Friday.
Some things in life are bad.
Okay, call me now.
They can really make you
call me right now.
Other things just make you swear and curse.
This is where we do the bright side. The lines are open.
When you're chewing on life's
gristle. Let's get started. Give me some good news in your world. Tell me something that's making you smile.
This'll help things turn out for the best.
Lapka will read your text.
And always look on the bright side of life.
Can I just say that my bright side is that it's Friday?
Always look on the light side of life.
It's not going to be a super snowy or cold weekend. Friday's here.
If life seems jolly.
How about you, Steve? What's making you smile?
Well, I like the fact that it's going to be a nice, quiet weekend, I think.
When you're feeling in the
it's kind of where I am, too. Sometimes an easy weekend in the winter is all you need. Go do your thing.
Always look on the bright side.
312-981-7200. Okay, let's pick up some phone lines. Dave, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Dave? You're on the air.
My wife survived breast cancer for the second time 16 years ago, and again last year, 5 months chemo, surgeries, PT. She's back to work, so 2020 is starting off great.
Yeah, wow. Amazing times we live in, aren't they? I mean, good for you, good for her. And she's back to work, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think because she's just a strong personality and a fighter, and she has twin 18-month-old granddaughter, so I think it had a lot to do with it, too. She wants to survive for them.
Happy days, Dave. Best to you both. Thanks for the call. Senna, you're on WGN Radio. Thanks for calling in. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. My bright side, I'm a hospice nurse, and I have gotten to talk to you twice today. All of my patients are doing well.
You were a terrific call earlier. You really had us thinking. And by the way, I didn't know you were a hospice nurse, but I know some people who are using the services of nurses, assistant nurses, and hospice nurses. You do great work, my friend.
Thank you. Praise God.
Donna, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Donna? You're on the air.
Hi, John. I'm smiling today because my daughter gave birth to twins.
Wow. Wow. Do we know the names?
Yes. The boy and a girl. It's Miles and Avery.
Miles and Avery. Brother-sister twin combination. How much fun. Well, congrats to everybody, Donna.
Thanks so much.
Always look on the bright side of life.
What are you reading there, Lauren Lapka?
I'm seeing a very common trend here. 217, sunshine, 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 630. It's sunny in North Aurora. Wow. And then someone else says, it's sunny and I'm wearing sunglasses.
Always look on the...
Eileen, why are you smiling? You're on WGN Radio.
Hey, John, even though it's sunshining here, we just booked a trip to Jamaica.
Hey, Joe, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Joe? Wait a minute, where's Joe? Joe's on 6. Why are you smiling, Joe?
Well, I'm calling from Spring Bay, and we're going to Jamaica like the other lady, but my bright side is we have Amazon Fire tablets for the grade school there, and they'll look on the kids' face, and they get them.
You're able to see, huh?
Yeah, have a good one.
Thanks for the call. Maybe Joe will bump into Eileen when they get down to Jamaica. Was that Eileen? Was that her name? Let's see here. Jim, you're on WGN Radio. Why are you smiling today, Jim? You're on the air.
How you doing?
Good.
52 years ago today, I left Vietnam to come back to the real world.
Thank you for your service. I'll bet you think about that your tour there a lot, don't you?
Yes, I do. I watch every day.
I totally understand that, Jim. Thank you for calling. Thank you for sharing. You have a good day, sir.
You too, buddy.
Bye now. One of my good friends, Jim Zwit, Vietnam survivor, as decorated as a Vietnam veteran can be, and I think Jim thinks about it every day, too. It was months of his life that he carries with him constantly. Linda, you're on WGN Radio. Why are you smiling today, Linda? You're on the air.
Besides you, good morning. My mom, Della, turned 93 on Wednesday, and she is healthier than me. She has lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and she only weighs 127 pounds. We took her out to dinner, and she's feisty as anything else. So that's what makes me smile.
Linda, thanks. Happy birthday to your mom. Lauren Lapka is reading your text messages at 312-981-7200.
And some babies on the mind. 847 says their 9-month-old is giggling and crawling across the room. Meanwhile, 708 says they're smiling because they're going to be a grandma for the first time in July.
Mike's on WGN Radio. 312-981-7200. Call in right now. Hey, Mike, you're on the air.
Hi, John.
What's your bright side,
Mike? I bought my wife a refrigerator for her birthday.
Yeah.
You should have seen her face light up when she opened it.
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, that's good. That's good. Life seems jolly rotten. There's something you forgot. They're doing their own shows at home, and sometimes they're better than this one. Mark, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling today, Mark? You're on the air.
Oh, my brother had cancer surgery earlier this week, and everything's looking very good for him.
Yeah, I'm glad. Thanks for the call. My best to you, your family, your brother. Julie, you're on WGN. What's the good news in Julie's world today?
Oh, I'm so excited. I'm expecting my first grandchild March the 2nd, and my daughter just found out this week she passed her board, so she's officially a doctor of physical therapy after so many years of hard work.
Yeah, that's a journey, isn't it?
It was, and she's gone. She came through a lot of things and focused, and I couldn't be prouder of both of them.
Happy days to you. Lauren Lapka, read another one.
847 says that their bright side is their foster dog is ready for adoption, and it came with a really adorable picture.
You got any more?
630 just sent a picture of a different dog. No message, but that's a bright side because that is a cute dog with a lot of snow on its face.
Let's go to Val. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Val?
I'm smiling because I just celebrated my 100th birthday, and I still volunteer at the Brookfield Zoo.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's hear it for Val. 100, and still volunteering at the Brookfield Zoo.
I always look on the bright.
That's pretty good. Josie, you're on WGN. What's the good news for Josie today?
I moved away from Illinois last year to Iowa, and I'm going back to Illinois to see one of my best friends.
Oh, no kidding. Who are you going to see? Where are you going to be?
I will be seeing Kate Jensen in Great Lake, Illinois.
Have a great day, and give our best to her. Safe travels.
Thank you.
I got time for maybe a couple of more, Lauren. You want to read one?
Sure. We have a few birthday ones. 563 says it's their birthday weekend. And then 847 says their bright side is it's their husband's mom's birthday, turning 89 Sunday.
always. We do this on Fridays. We ask you to call in, tell us some good news in your world, tell us why you're smiling. There's a lot of good news out there. We say hi to Ji Suki. Hi, Ji.
Hello, John. I have to tell you, I think a pet portrait by John Williams would fetch a pretty penny.
I was thinking about posting the pictures of my wiener dog drawings online, but okay, you know what? I will. I will go home and I will post them.
You could give the proceeds to charity, even.
I don't think that's going to generate any revenue, G.
I think it will. I have a business plan for you.
Okay. Speaking of which, what's on the business lunch today?
It's a great show. We have two guys that created a new system for accelerating your career. So it's all about getting to that big corner office with the big windows and the great view a lot sooner.
Okay. That's all around the corner.